G'day, Paddy.
TK, how are you?
Yeah, extremely well, mate. God, it was tough out there.
I was pleased I was in the commentary box yesterday. We knew. We had a meeting with Trevor Hurd, tournament director, the day before, and he said, look, the two tough days that we're looking at, Thursday and Saturday, so there's more of this ahead. I know it's a little overcast in Sydney this morning, but you know, we're just hoping that the breeze doesn't get up, that we can see some low numbers. Not that we didn't see some good shooting yesterday, but boy, the afternoon you saw with the defending champion, the way he started, you know, opening drive in the water and then took quadruple up the first and was seven over after three. It's not title defence down the drain, but boy, it makes it hard from there. But it was, yeah, it was particularly tough for them yesterday afternoon. It really was. So hopefully it's a little more lenient today.
Was the first hole, Paddy, the hardest on the course yesterday?
Yeah, Loz, it was right there. Look, the first three, you know, you've obviously played out there quite a bit. Those, the first one, if the breeze is in the right quarter, it can be managed reasonably well. But it was just tough yesterday because it's such a narrow landing area and it's such an intimidating tee shot because you just see that big stretch of water on your left-hand side. And then over to the right is trees and waste bunkers and... Yeah, it's just an intimidating opening shot. And, of course, you know, young Davis said in an interview last night when he finally got off the course, was that, you know, when he heard his name called out and, you know, he's now the defending champion. We know the story from last year coming from six shots back on the last day, that his legs went to jelly. And, you know, he was really nervous when he hit that opening tee shot. So he said, look, you know, the old cliche, I'm going to play it hole by hole and just see if I can claw my way back into this tournament. But, yes, 1, 2 and 3... were just monsters yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, Cam Davis, that defending champion, you felt for him. He took an 8 on the first. He actually did a good job to fire an opening round of 76. Tell us about -5 and the leader, Byon Ahn. I mean, South Korean flag next to his name, Paddy, but he's very, very American.
Yeah, he's been in the States for a long time. He comes from the David Ledbetter system over there. He went over there, you know, as a teenager. And the two parents are both sort of sporting stars back in South Korea. They're Olympic medalists in table tennis. And they said he was too big for table tennis. He wasn't agile enough. So golf was his chosen sport. They got him to the States and, you know, as I said, under the famed David Ledbetter, and he's turned him, you know, into a very good golfer. He's been beaten twice by really good players this year, Bryson DeChambeau and Dustin Johnson. He's finished second to both of them, who've obviously, you know, at the peak of their powers right at the moment. So he's knocking on the door of a US Tour win. It's great to have him here, but the stories around him are great. He mentioned on the telecast yesterday he's due to be married in December, and Ali Whittaker, who works in the commentary with us, knows a little bit about him. He said, yes, there's 450 going to the wedding. So that'll be just a nice, quiet affair. Wow. So the winning check this week will be handy to offset the costs a little. And, of course, the other story about it is that for, I think it's between 18 and 35 in South Korea, is compulsory military service. That can be waived if he can win a gold medal at the Asian Games or win a medal at the Olympics. So he's targeted 2020 Tokyo to try and win a golfing medal there to get himself out of service and stay on the US Tour.
Well, I think most people would
think
of doing that as well, Paddy. But, mate, what about Matty Kuchar? Fresh from his win in Mexico last Sunday, two late birdies to finish three shots behind the leader?
Yeah, look, selfishly, Loz, you know, we want those guys. And there's a lot of really good feel-good stories with the Adam Stevens and the Uber, you know, who's an Uber driver in his spare time and things like that. But realistically, you know, selfishly, we'd love a couple of the superstars near the top of the leaderboard heading into the weekend. Kuchar, you know, when you win a tournament, there's so much to do. There's press. You've got to go see the volunteers. You do other stuff. He couldn't get out of Mayakoba, you know, out of Mexico under his own steam. They actually got a private jet to get him up to LA. He still missed his connecting flight. As such, he arrived only Wednesday morning and literally went straight from the airport to the Pro-Am. And that was his first look at the golf course. And then came out yesterday, probably, you know, still with legs like Cameron Davis, still with jelly legs, and played very well. So, you know, he gets to go out early today. They'll be on the course, you know, around about now. And, you know, I've got to admit, it's a little overcast outside, but there's not too much breeze around. So possibly right now the course is ripe for the picking early today.
Yeah, from a Channel 7 point of view and from a fan point of view, we'd like to see Matt Kuchar there in those final groups come Sunday afternoon. And also, obviously, Cameron Smith, mate, we'd love to see him in one of those final groups. He did a pretty good job in tough conditions. He put two balls in the water throughout his round. And Cam Smith, probably the best credentialed of the Aussies, he had an opening round of 74.
Yeah, not all that happy either at the end of it. The course is pretty slow. And he wasn't overly delighted with that. You know, drives aren't running out too far. And, of course, the greens are at around about 10.3, 10.5 on a stint meter, which, you know, to the uninitiated, that's a slow green for tournament golf. But they've done it deliberately knowing that there is this breeze around. It was not a breeze here, you know, out of the lakes. It's a wind. And, you know, if it gets up around that 40, yes. 50 kilometres an hour, I mean, it dries a course out really quickly. And the greens become borderline unplayable. So they've known about this weather coming, so and they've set up the course. But regardless, Cameron Smith, you know, wasn't in a great mood when he left the course yesterday because he was in the leading group. He was in the morning group, I should say, when the conditions were a little bit easier. So he knows he's got work to do today. A couple over, he needs to be, you know, two or three under by the end of the day. He needs probably to shoot 68 today.
Paddy, just before we let you go, mate, I'll put your Brisbane hat on if you can. Mm-hmm. Do you think Wayne Bennett will be coaching Brisbane next year, or do you think Anthony Seibold will actually be the... What's the scuttlebutt in Brisbane?
Everyone keeps telling you that the swap is going to happen, but I think it comes down, and it's been written about down here, TK, that it's simple economics. Mm. I mean, Bennett's you know, near $1 million a year coach, and Anthony Seibold at South, they budgeted for a lot less than that, I would imagine, you know, for him for this year. It's who's going to make up the shortfall? And, you know, the Broncos are a public company. They can't be sort of being seen to, you know, be making up a $500,000 payouts, et cetera. So I think it's going to be very interesting. Bennett keeps saying that he's not going anywhere. And, you know, Anthony Seibold had issued ultimatums that he wants a decision sooner rather than later.
And just a quick one, Paddy. Josh Maguire looks as though he's on the way out and heading straight to the North Queensland Cowboys.
I'm as stunned as anyone, Loz, to tell you the truth. I mean, to read it in the paper and hear it when we got off air last night, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I thought he was the rock around which this pack is going to be built. As you know, I mean, there's a lot of really good young forwards up there, but they need a leader, and I thought Maguire was going to be the man. So that one, to me, has come right out of the blue that Paul Green and Parry and the boys up in North Queensland have swooped and offered him a big money deal, and looks like the Broncos are ready to let him go. It obviously frees up their cap a bit at the Broncos, but, you know, you need a forward leader like that. And, you know, the old days when the Broncos had 6 and 7 in the test team, they aren't around anymore. And to lose somewhat of Maguire's, you know, value and prominence, I'm a bit shocked that they've let him go.
Paddy, thanks so much. We've covered a fair few topics with you, including the golf. Good luck at the golf again. We'll be watching on the 7 Network from midday, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Pleasure.